Johnny Parkinson joins me on the line now as he and his wife Deirdre received a devastating diagnosis for their daughter Clodagh, but remain strong and positive as a family. Clodagh had a catastrophic brain injury, one of the worst a neurologist had ever seen, and apparently after developing a virus which attacked her brain. And Johnny joins me now on the line. Johnny, good morning. Thanks for taking our call on the Kildare Today Show.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And thanks again for taking our call. To give listeners a bit of a background, Johnny, about yourself and Deirdre, you had just welcomed Clodagh, your second daughter, in 2025. What were those first few days like with her?
Yeah, so, second daughter, you know, it wasn't our first rodeo and we knew what we were kind of hopefully expecting, and things all went to plan. You know, the labour and delivery went well. Deirdre was doing well, baby was doing well in hospital, and we went home. And I suppose we were home just over a week, and we just kind of noticed that she was kind of a bit lethargic, and she kind of stopped feeding on mum a little bit, and we were a little bit worried, and we were like, maybe we might try her with a bit of formula, see if that might kind of pick her up a little bit. But kind of over the next few hours, it didn't kind of really happen, and she kind of remained in that state. So, yeah, so we were like, right, we'll bring her in Friday morning into Crumlin and get her checked out and get her looked at. And to be honest, kind of very quickly after kind of arriving in the hospital, she was basically kind of triaged straight away by the nurse. We had a junior doctor kind of come over, have a look at her, and very quickly then there was two senior doctors there, and then all of a sudden there was a whole team, and they were working on her. They were a little bit worried about her breathing. They were worried. They thought they'd saw a little bit of a seizure, and they basically were like, we need to prep her to bring her up to ICU.
Wow.
So that happened in the space of half an hour, and we thought, geez, she might, they might give her a bit of fluids and, a bit of, maybe she need a little antibiotic or something like that,
But I can imagine it, especially with it happening so quickly in just 30 minutes. I mean, there was then that sense of, oh, this is more serious than what we saw.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they brought us upstairs in Crumlin up to the ICU ward. And they while they prep her, they kind of brought us into this family room. And we kind of got this sense that, everyone was being, nearly too nice to us in a way. And I just said to Deirdre, I was like, there's something wrong here. We could just sense it then, something is really serious. And the woman in the doctor, in the emergency department said that she felt that she'd seen Clodagh have a wee seizure.
Yeah.
So when little babies have a little seizure like that, I suppose that's, a massive risk to having a brain injury, that seizures basically can cause significant damage, unfortunately, to the brain. So we went in on a Friday, and I suppose over the weekend we felt she was doing quite well. She was responding to the antibiotics and the antiviral. But unfortunately, that seizure, they did an MRI on the Monday and an EEG. And unfortunately then on Tuesday they sat us down and they told us that she'd had catastrophic brain injury, and they showed us all the photographs and the images, and were setting us up to kind of say goodbye to Clodagh. So we just had to, our whole world was turned upside down. We were devastated, all our families came in to support, and they were coming in and basically saying hello and goodbye in one visit in ICU in Crumlin.
Can't imagine what that was like. You said saying hello, seeing her for the first time, but also the thought of this might be the last time.
That was it. My mum and come in, and she hadn't even seen her, and her first time seeing her, she was, fully connected to, the ICU machines and all the tubes and all the monitors and everything, and she's only 9 days, 10 days old, It's just devastating for us, the whole family, so she went in on a Friday, and by the following Friday, then we turned off the ventilator, and we waited for her to pass, I'll be honest, that time in ICU waiting, you know, was honestly it was torturous. You know, we were, and we were starting to, you know, we didn't know what to expect. You know, could it, you know, they were saying it could take a long time, it could happen very quickly, and we were just sat there kind of waiting, and
yeah.
It got to the Sunday evening, and I had to go home to our other daughter Una, and yeah, they came back in Monday morning, and that was it. She was staying around, she was stable, and all her heart rate and her oxygen levels had all returned back to kind of a normal station.
Wow. It's quite a 180 from, as you were saying, you know, you left the day before to go back home, and then coming in the next day to a different story, considering the preparation that you and Deirdre and the family had put in. What is it known what happened between, I mean, the Sunday and the Monday, when suddenly Clodagh was she was more stable?
Yeah, she just, I suppose, when they go to ICU, they're on the machines, their bodies become reliant a little bit on the machines, and I suppose the consultants would have kind of, they were worried that when they removed the ventilation that she wouldn't be able to kind of breathe on her own, and she wouldn't have, you know, there was so much damage done to her brain that she wouldn't have the capacity to do it. And I suppose there was definitely times where we thought, right, here we go, she's gonna go. And actually that Sunday night, I had to go home to my daughter, Una, and my wife was like, look, she thought she might pass that night. She said, you know, she'd been kind of like, it had been kind of dropping a little bit, you know, all day Sunday. And I'd be honest, like, she spent the night with Deirdre. Like, they brought in the bed and everything, you know, like, we were sleeping in ICU, and Deirdre spent the night with her in that Sunday, like, just her and Clodagh. And, you know, I think there's some sort of, you know, there's something magical between, you know, a mum and their babies that, you know, sometimes medicine doesn't really explain. And Clodagh had made the decision that she wanted to stay with us. And there was no, you know, there was no intervention, there was no, you know, that was it. Things just went back to where they needed to be. So
yeah.
From that point then, we kind of had to then, you know, sure, our whole work, you know, we were expecting to say goodbye, and then she was with us. So we had to completely change our whole mindset again, that, right, okay, like, you know, she's staying with us. And we had to then start to prepare to, you know, we need to see what her baseline condition was like, you know, what where she was, and then kind of start to put the groundwork in, I suppose, with the doctors and the physios, the OTs, the speech and languages, you know, to kind of start to go, prepare to go home. And
And what would that have looked like? I mean, kind of getting that preparation, what was needed to be done?
When they're in ICU, they're on a very heavy medication. You know, they're sedated basically, and they have to wean them off that medication. So, I suppose you're basically over kind of a week or a week and a half, they come off slowly off the medication, and you kind of start to see then, right, where is she? Like, is she opening her eyes? Is she moving her limbs? You know, can she cry? You know, can she deal with her saliva, you know, they can aspirate on their own saliva, you know, they're feeding through a kind of a tube to start with. And then, you know, you're working with like the OT and stuff to see whether, you know, possibly they could start to take, you know, a little bit more, then a bit more again. And you're kind of nearly working them and to see whether they can nearly take it without the nasal tube, you know. So it can take a process. And to be honest, Clodagh bounced back unbelievably well. She was, you know, like she started moving, started crying. She went back on mum. She took a bottle. She, you know, was doing her wet and dirty nappies. Like, and the doctors kind of kept coming into us, and they were like, "Jeannie Mac, like she's doing so well." Like, and but the neurologist was very, I suppose, how do you say, he kind of kept us in check at all times.
Yeah.
He's like, look, she's so young, we just don't know what's going to happen. And to be fair to him, he never overpromised. He never kind of allowed us to kind of get, you know, too far ahead of ourselves, if that makes sense, and kind of kept us grounded and to kind of keep watching out for things. So basically, Jack and Jill kind of came to visit us in the hospital, and they kind of as well kind of helped to start kind of prepare us for going home, and the needs that we would have, having pediatric nurses kind of ready to kind of for that transition to go home and to give us that support. So we kind of noticed once we got home then that Clodagh kind of, unfortunately, she was very highly irritable. Putting her down, she would go from zero to 90. She would just get so irate, so upset, and she would breath hold. And that was, you know, a big risk. She was, you know, trying to feed her, trying to give her meds. She could just go from being content to this irateness. And it was constant, you know. Trying to get her to sleep was very difficult. She'd only sleep on us. So, you know, we were trying to, you know, and then within a few weeks I was back to work, like, you know, so I was going to work, going home. I was taking Clodagh from Deirdre because she had her all day screaming. Yeah. And I suppose that's where the Jack and Jill Foundation kind of really helped to support us. They came in. They provided their pediatric nurses. They're qualified. They have that experience dealing with children with complex needs, and they just they were just amazing. And they just allowed us to then, you know, get that bit of breathing space to just keep the house running. You know, we still had Una to look after. She was only two. You know, like, so she, you know, she needed our attention, she needed our energy, she needed us to be in a good place, you know. So, yeah, so I suppose we ended up having to just build our support network from there. And I'll be honest, without Jack and Jill, like, we would have been completely lost.
Yeah.
We were really living for them. So they would come in and they would take her. It meant we could get maybe a night's sleep, or we could get some chores done. We could, you know, that's it, just do washing up and putting the wash on, and that's it, like, basic functions, really.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's stuff that you kind of, you don't realise are still so important until you're not able to do them anymore. They can kind of build up over a few days, and it can just feel, like, overwhelming, I can imagine.
Oh,
times before,
completely, like, and you're not achieving anything, like, in your day, like, you know, that mental, you know, like, so at first my wife, she was on maternity leave, and for the first 6 months it was really, really, really hard, and we actually ended up spending another month in hospital. And to be fair to the doctors, we said, we were explaining her, you know, her irritability, and we said, look, we want to spend a month in hospital and work on her medication and figure it out so that we can go home, we can put her down, we can put her in the buggy, we can put her in the car, you know, without her, you know, absolutely losing it every time. And to be fair, like, Jack and Jill were there all the way through that. You know, they came to the hospital with us. They supported us in the hospital, meant that we could maybe go home, spend some time with Una, given her, you know, her childhood too. So, and then again, kind of transitioning back home again from that stay in hospital. And yeah, they've just been an amazing support for our family.
Of course. And Johnny, now how is Clodagh doing, and how are you and Deirdre and the family doing?
Yeah, so I suppose myself and Deirdre have always tried to focus on the positives. You know, we can't change what's happened to Clodagh. You know, she's got her complex, both motor and cognitive, and you know, she's you know, she's 18 months now, but, you know, developmentally she's only 6 months, so, you know, she's way behind, but, you know, she's making small progressions as it comes. You know, we're not putting under pressure, we're doing, you know, all the physio, the OT, the hydrotherapy. You know, Jack and Jill come with us to all of those. Like, they're brilliant. They do it with us at home when we're doing our exercises and things. Like, they get stuck in, and you know, we've just decided that we're just going to focus on the positives. She smiles, she giggles, she laughs. You know, she's responsive to us when we play with her. But like, she you know, she's got her, you know, she's significantly disabled, but. Mm. We've decided to just focus on all the great things that Clodagh is, and by getting the support from Jack and Jill, it allows us to, you know, to recharge and to have that kind of positive outlook, because, you know, without being able to sometimes, you know, pass her to somebody who can look after her so that we can just do a little bit of self-care ourselves, run around, do the few bits in the house, feel like we've accomplished something for the day. And my wife is amazing. She's unbelievable. She's pushed. We're in the middle of doing a two-story extension in our house because we want to adapt it for Clodagh going forward. And she really wanted to take control of a situation that we have no control of, if you know what I mean. And focus on positives and looking forward to things. But, you know, without that support that we get, you know, it would be very difficult for us to really achieve anything. And you know, we get 100 hours a month support from Jack and Jill. And, we use that time that we get to try and accomplish, you know, small goals to try and, you know, keep our family moving forward and to kind of, yeah, spend time together as a family.
Of course, Johnny, it's amazing to hear your story, like your Deirdre's and Clodagh's story as well now, and to hear that she is still with you. And again, taking the positives from this, which of course can be a hugely negative situation at times, but really seeing the brighter side. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us on the Kildare Today show this morning, sharing your story and the Jack and Jill Foundation, their support for your family as well. But that is Johnny Parkinson. Him and his wife Deirdre received that devastating diagnosis for their daughter Clodagh, but are still staying strong and positive. And Johnny, a lot of messages are coming in for support for you and the family, but thanks again, Johnny, for taking our call on the Kildare Today show this morning.